I'm Pastor Troy Thompson. The message you're about to receive was conceived from the heart of the Father. I pray that it challenges you, transforms you, but most of all, that it inspires you to live in the power and the grace of our Lord.
The Lord said to Gideon, The Lord said to Gideon, who are with you, they're too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me. You could be seated, or wherever you're at, just, if you don't want to sit, you can stand. He said, Israel will claim glory against me, and they'll declare my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. See, a lot of us today are operating in the strength of our own hand. And God says, I'm not against you. I'm for you. I just won't share my glory with you. So what I'm about to do for you has to be by my hand and not yours. That's why it's so intimidating, God says. That's why it's so scary. That's why you're a little bit fearful. And truth be told, that's why some of us are a lot fearful. Because we realize, unless God shows up in this thing, we can't win. But look at what God said. God said, the fight's not fair. The fight's not fair. There's too many of you. I have something for you before you leave today. The fight's, it's unfair. There's too many of you. And if you win, it will be because of your own hand. You see, the fight you're fighting, you're at such an advantage that God says, I've got to take some of you away to make the fight fair. God says, I've got to strip some of you down because this fight, it's not even fair. There's so much authority that you carry, child of God. There's so much power that you hold, child of God. If one could put 1,000, two could put, God says this fight's not fair. I've got to take something away from you so that way the enemy will look at you and recognize. He said, God says, this fight's not fair. I've got to strip you of you because I can't have you walking around with my manifested presence. The unspoken, manifested presence of the Father. God says, I can't have my unspoken, manifested presence without my hand being involved in your fight. And a lot of us trying to stack the odds in our favor some way. And God says, I can't let you win that way. Because people have to know that the unspoken manifestation of your Father is the thing that brought victory to your life. Not your talent, not your ability, not your strength. God says, I'm not going to cheapen my presence by allowing your hand. I'm not going to put my presence on your hand. So if it's going to work, it's going to work because you both cried out to the Lord. It's going to work because you cried out to the Lord and said, strip 22,000 away from us, oh God, and see what we're made of. Take two-thirds of me and put two-thirds of my strength away from me, and then let's go to war. 32,000 to 10,000, 22,000, we're afraid. But the glory, the glory, the glory. Think about the glory for a minute. He said, you want to know where glory is found? And we love the glory. And we were just in it. We love that glory. We love when presence is manifested, right? We like, oh yeah, the goosebumps. Yeah, I mean this, you know, I got those moments. You know when I feel glory because I hide in my coat. That's glory. God says, you want to know how you get glory? You get weak. You stop relying on your strength. And you take a risk. You take a risk. He said, this don't make no sense that we would win this war with this little of an army, God. And you say, if you're afraid now, just hold on. It gets worse. Because they went from 32,000 to 10,000. From 10,000 to 300. And then from 300, it all started with, it starts with you this morning. It starts with you. You want presence to be on your life continuously? How many would like that? You say, I want to carry the glory of the Lord with me wherever I go. God says, it's found in your weakness, not your strength. It's found when you feel like you don't have it. When you feel sick, God says, that's where strength is. That's where my glory is right there. When you're out of answers, God said, that's where I am right there. That's where I'll be found. I'll be found in your weakness, but I won't be found in your hand. So how many today said, listen, I'm ready to join Gideon's army. I'm ready to shake off the common and walk into the new. If that's you, raise your hand all over this place. All right, here's what you got to do. You say, how do I get? How do I separate myself from the 32,000? How do I get out of that and in to where the glory is? God says, you have to take a risk. And you have to be courageous. Just because if you're afraid, you're not fit for the fight. He said, if you're afraid, what did he say? Tell them if they're afraid to go home. Now, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. If you're afraid today and you say, I'm not ready to fight this kind of fight. That's all right. But then if you are ready to leave the 32,000 and come into the 10,000 realm, then what you have to do today is take some steps of courage. The first thing you're going to have to do, you know, because it's, people think that it's so hard to be great today, but it's really not. It's really not, because everybody is so basic. They are. Most, if we're honest, and when I say that, most people think, you're not talking to me. Most people think, oh, he's not really talking to me. I'm one of the ones that are operating in courage. I'm part of the 10,000, not the 32,000. Well, let's examine that. Because most people, here's what we do. Most people, I was with Marlon the other day, and we went to Panera, and there was this young girl there, and she was yawning and you visibly tired. I said, what time did you get to work this morning? She said, 7. What time do you get off? Oh, in 10 minutes. Oh, what are you going to do for the rest of the day? She said, I'm going home to sleep. Most people spend 8 hours at work, 8 hours of sleep, and 8 hours of waste. The question is, in that last 8 hours, what courageous movements are you making to separate yourself from the 32,000? What courageous acts are you taking in your faith with your family, for your community, for your nation, for the nations of the world? What courageous acts are you participating in that will separate you from everybody else out there? I'm going to give you about four things that will separate you from the 32,000 and bring you into the glory of the Lord. You ready? First, you're going to have to make some courageous confessions about your life. I mean, you're going to have to begin to talk to yourself every day in the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. You're going to have to declare some things over your life. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the... And then God began to talk about what He started. God began to talk over what He started. And the question to you today is, do you talk over what you start? Do you begin every day with a declaration of faith and begin to talk to it like God did? God said, this is the first day. It's really good. You should look at it. This is that day, and it's so good. Do you look at your day and make confessions over it? Or do you just let the day happen to you? Do you just allow the day to unfold and begin to bring out of you everything that yesterday put in you? Or do you look at that day in the mirror and begin to talk to it? I am the head and I'm not the tail. Today I will walk in the victory of my God. I will walk in the salvation of my God. I begin to feel and manifest healing by the glory of God. So first you have to make confessions that are courageous to your day. I wrote one for you. I want to read it to you. Courageous confessions. Because most of us allow the day to declare to us what it has for us. You ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed? You ever wake up feeling under the weather? This is what you need to do when you're on the floor and it's raining on your soul. You ready? You need to begin to say something like this. This is your day, created. Use me today, God, to reveal your power, your providence, and your love to my family, my city, my nation, and my generation. I will look for your goodness and purpose in every encounter I have today. I'm your masterpiece, and I promise to walk in the newness of Christ on this day. Today belongs to you. I will make your plans the focus of my mind, and I will draw them out. I will look for your purpose and your plans to unfold in my life today. I'll work out my salvation today. I'll work out my salvation today. I'll work out my salvation today. I'm going to work out my salvation today. So if life doesn't look like salvation, I'm going to work it out until it manifests the answer. I'm going to work out my salvation today and to make sure your purpose in the earth is fulfilled. I will trust you to protect me and preserve me as I take big risks that are in proportion to my purpose. I'm going to take big risks that are in proportion to my purpose. Come on, stand to your feet with me and declare this. Come on, with everything in you, stand to your feet and declare this. I'm going to take risks in proportion to my purpose. Now begin to think about why you're here. Begin to think about why God put you on this brown, green, blue ball of dirt. And then begin to say, what kind of risk am I going to take when I leave here today? What does a risk look like? How is my life going to be unfolded in the risks I take as I leave here today? Come on, I just declare huge risks. Risk of faith will be taken today in proportion to your purpose. In proportion to your purpose. Now, some of you are going to start little, but others are going to start huge because your purpose, you have such a purpose right now in season. Right now is your season. This is your season. This is your season. God is declaring it. This is your season. Operate in proportion to your season right now. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. Lastly, I'm going to dream the dreams of heaven for my life. I'm going to dream the dreams of heaven for my life. What dreams are you dreaming for your life today? Huh? Are you dreaming the dreams of heaven? Two, you got to create a courageous ecosystem. There's too many of us, church. There's too many of us. You got to ask yourself, who's swimming in my fishbowl? Who's swimming in my fishbowl? God, I'll tell you something. There's a goldfish that really lives in this fishbowl. And about 2 days later, this fishbowl is full of poop. Just take that in for a second. And that fish lives in that ecosystem. Now you put more fish in there, and that fish is living in that ecosystem. The question to you today is, who's living in your ecosystem? Are you swimming around with people that are pooping in your water? Come on. Ask yourself a question. Now there's other things that get in there and clean the bowl. They got some fish like that. I wish Pastor Josh was here. He grows fish and coral and real exotic things. It's real beautiful. But there's some stuff you stick in your tank that will actually go in there and clean up your tank. We gotta have some people that live in our tank, that clean our water and make our ecosystem healthy. And then there got to be some fish in there that we're raising in our ecosystem. So here's the deal. Some people in your ecosystem got to go. They're pooping in your water. They're creating toxic. The faith, I'm telling the truth. You got some family members that are pulling down. Now to say you don't love them. Now you love them fish over there. You gotta love them poopy fish. They just can't live in your ecosystem. You said this is not biblical. Watch me. Jesus said, Peter, James, John, come with me. Everywhere he went, there were three fish he took all the time. There was a Peter, there was a James, and there was a John. They got to see the glory of the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. They walked into a room with Jesus one time. There was a sick child in there, dead. Dead. Everybody else was in the room crying and mourning. And Jesus said, you, and you got to go. Because you're pooping in my ecosystem. You're messing up the my ecosystem. You got to get out my ecosystem. And then he said, Peter, James, and John, you get in there and you add to my ecosystem the supernatural power of faith that heals the sick and raises the dead. You got to have some people in your life that when everything falls apart, you got a Peter, James, and a John. You say, I need the prayer of faith that heals the sick and raises them from their sick bed. That's you. Pray for me. Pray for this situation. Come with me. There's a child that's here. There's something to happen there. There's something going on there. My generation needs me there. You need a Peter, James, and a John. Because here's the truth of the matter. Here's the truth. You know the goldfish story. You know, the goldfish grows in proportion to its ecosystem. It can't get any bigger than its ecosystem. You're the same way. What makes you think you're not the same way? You're the same way. And if your ecosystem is small, now there's a lot of people in here right now. Your ecosystem is toxic, and your ecosystem is too small for you. It's too small for you. You're hanging out with chickens when you should be hanging out with eagles. You're hanging out with small-minded, little poverty-minded, sick-minded, depression-minded, woe-is-me-minded. Always bad-minded, negative-minded, cynical-minded. You got to get those people out of your life. You got to get a bigger fish. Go get a bigger fishbowl. Go buy yourself a bigger fishbowl. Make some steps of faith to say, I'm going to drive a better car. I'm going to get a better job. Make a confession over your life. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. if you begin to think like that, I began to think like this about 7 years ago. And when, I just thought, you know what? If I want to manifest what I want to manifest, I got to hang around those who are manifesting what I want to manifest. And so I started hanging out in other fish bowls. They were bigger. They were talking about $1.3 million at the dinner table one night. They're driving others. They have bank accounts. They're writing stuff. They're doing stuff. But here's what I know is true. If I lift my ecosystem, everybody around me benefits when my ecosystem grows. And you want your children's floor to be your ceiling? Increase your ecosystem. What's your ecosystem like at home? What's it sound like when people walk into your house? Some people's house you walk into is chaos. Some of you guys know this because you just had Thanksgiving dinner. Like, oh yeah, man, it was crazy now. But your habitat, it's real. Your atmosphere, faith is felt. Faith is felt. I promise you, I walk into your house, I'll begin to know. I've been in Pastor Jim and Amy's house. You walk in that house, there's peace. There's strength. There's wisdom. You can feel it because that's their habitat. And they're not going to have any nonsense. You're not going to come over there and poop in the water. No, sir. No, sir, you're not. You get that trash out of here. We'll clean it up for a minute, but you can't live here with that. We'll let you hang out for a little bit. But if you're going to live here, no, that trash don't come here. Because this is a tabernacle of peace. I live in an ecosystem of the supernatural. And so what I create, what it sounds like, what it smells like even. Sometimes I walk in my house and go, stinking here. I want to smell like dog. I want to smell like, caramel apples or something. Frankincense and myrrh or something, Rosella Bass isn't here, Elder Rosella. She's not here. But if you walk by her house, you'll feel the ecosystem of her house. How many have been by her house? Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? She lives in this house down there on Reed Avenue. And if you walk by it, she's got worship music playing 365 days a year, 24/7. It never stops. And you walk into that house and you can feel the presence of God. It doesn't stop. People walk by and go, man, never turns off. It never turns off. I dare you to go there afterwards. Just walk by her house. That's her ecosystem. Do you have an ecosystem? I want to receive the offering now. Does your ecosystem consist of giving? Do you give? Inside of your ecosystem, is there a heart of benevolence and giving from the Lord that says, I'm always going to give more than I take from this ecosystem? I'm not going to pollute this ecosystem more than I contribute to this ecosystem. Do you give in proportion? This is what the tithe is giving in proportion to your ecosystem. You say, I want to bigger this. I want to live in a better that. Give in proportion to your ecosystem that you want rather than the one that you're in. That'll change your life. You say, I don't believe it. Try it. Just try it. Try to live with a heart of benevolence that says, I'm going to give more than I take. Try it. And watch if the windows of heaven don't open over your life. Come on, hold your tithe up. You're giving. Thank you for your faithful giving. But I say give in proportion to your ecosystem. The Bible teaches us to give 10%. It's called the tithe. Give in proportion. You say, I want a bigger ecosystem. Give bigger. Your ecosystem will grow. It's just a principle of the word. Let's bless it. A whole bunch of ways you can get push pay, online, envelopes, cash, credit card. Let's bless it. Father, thank you for this opportunity to give. We bless this house and we declare that it would grow because of our benevolence, because of our heart of giving. We declare growth come to this region, to our family, to our communities, to our nation. We declare that this tithe has the authority and the power to transform the nation. Change it by the glory of God. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Third, and if you didn't believe that one, so you're going to have to create a courageous confession. Create a courageous ecosystem and create courageous movement. Courageous movement. Joshua 6:7, God says to Joshua, don't lose me. Stay with me. Stay with me. We're moving. Stay with me. They're just passing back. Stay with me. It happens every Sunday. Some of us have to create courageous movement. Help. Pray there. Courageous movement. She's okay. I just need you to extend your hand that way and we're going to pray, okay? Father, we thank you for your word. It's so powerful. We declare in Jesus' name healing in Jesus' name. No more seizures. We speak to the enemy and declare the glory of the Lord, the strength of God, the power of God be revealed. Pray with me, church. In Jesus' name. 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 Yes, Lord. Hondarebeshisha. Take authority, church. Jesus. 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 Some medical help. Joshua 6, verse 7 says, march around the city. God told Joshua, God said to Joshua, I've given you Jericho. But just because I've given you something doesn't mean that you don't have to move towards what I gave you. The promise is yours. Yes, how many know that the promises are yours? They are yours. But for many of us, those promises needs to be moved towards courageously. So for a lot of us, there has to begin courageous movement. You're wearing church shoes too much. And really what we ought to be wearing is combat shoes or running shoes. Shoes shoes that fit what we're moving towards. Sometimes I go to the gym. I go to the gym with Paul Andre over there, and there's this class he has. It's boot camp. It's called boot camp. And what he'll do in this class is he'll say, for the first 5 minutes, I just want you to jog slowly in one direction. And so for 2.5 minutes, you're just jogging in a circle. Just jogging in a circle. Then 2.5 minutes goes by and he says, jog the other way. This doesn't make any sense. God says, if you'll just start moving, Joshua, I just want you to march, Joshua. Well, why can't we just stand here? God said, march, move. Faith without movement doesn't make any sense to me. God says, I need to see you move towards what I promised you. I need you to move even when it doesn't look like a promise. I need you to move towards what I promised you. Don't just sit there. Don't just stand there. You gotta change your shoes. You know, and here's the thing. Most of you are being criticized by people who either are wearing church shoes or no shoes. You don't even have any shoes on. You're trying to tell me how to move courageously towards my promise? That's how it is. So you're going to have to move courageously. What's that look like? You're going to have to change your shoes. You're going to have to go home, put on your shoes. You know, I hate working out. I hate it. I absolutely hate it, despise it. But here's what I know. I start walking on the track, and then I look at my little watch here and go, okay. But before too long, if I walk about two and a half laps in, I'll start running. Start moving. What does a movement of faith look like for you right now? What does that look like for you? What does a courageous movement look like for you today? Last, I'll close with this. Courageous movement. Here's the deal. Gideon, if they're going to belong to my army, I need them to remember what I said. What did God say? He said, I know what it looks like. I know what it looks like. What does God say? And you know, every one of us are walking around with a think cloud. Every one of us got one of these think clouds. And you got to make up your mind. Are you going to fill this with what God says? And when the enemy comes against you, are you going to remember what God said? What did God say? What's in your think cloud? What do you remember? Do you remember how it was or what it looked like? Or do you remember what God said about healing? Because when the report comes, you're going to have to go back to what God said or what you feel. What did God say? What is God saying? What does your think cloud say? Here's what I know. Psalm 119, 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. He said, it doesn't look like what your word settled in heaven looks like, but this is the truth. And so many of us forget what God said when things go wrong. What did God say? Psalm 119, 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I need your word. You need his word. You need to remember his word to you to illuminate where you're going. What did he say? John 17:17 says this. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Separate them, God. Separate the 32,000 from the 10,000 by what you said. Do you know what God says about you? God says, you're the healed of the Lord. God says. God says, your children are the heritage of the Lord. God says that. God says that. Now, you can't. Now, most of us are walking around with a blank think cloud or a negative think cloud. You're walking around saying what you said. But if you're going to begin to possess and walk in the ranks of the 10,000, you've got to remember what God said. Come on, stand to your feet with me as we close today. What does God say? As we close in prayer, I want to pray for you. We're going to pray for this young lady that these seizures stop and never come back. Amen?
Amen.
They never return. Come on, extend your hand this way and lift up your voice and raise a battle cry against the enemy. Raise a battle cry against the enemy. Come on, let hell hear your declaration of faith over her life. We declare in Jesus' name, you have no authority. You're trespassing. We pray that the power of God be manifested. That healing come and remain. Healing come and remain. We bless her in her body and declare that by the stripes of a risen Savior, she received the healing that belongs to her. Now we declare, if you're in this room and you've never joined the army of God, you've never moved towards courage in your life, here's your altar call. This is your come to Jesus moment. You say, I want to move out of the ranks of the fearful and into the ranks of the courageous. Today's my day. I want to enlist in Gideon's army. I want to help God fight the good fight of faith in my family, in my life, in my community, in my nation. That's me. That's the first altar call. Second altar call is this. You're AWOL. You're AWOL. You've broken ranks. You know you've walked away from your purpose. You know you're on the run. God says, I want you to come back now. And I want you to re-enlist. And I want you to tomorrow, tonight, today, right now, you're going to re-enlist. You're going to walk in courage from this day forward. This is your day. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We call upon the name of the Lord. We enlist today in the army of Gideon. Into that same army we enlist today. We declare, oh God, we will move towards courage and out of the ranks of the common and into the ranks of the army of the Lord. Been cold on God, we return today right now. We've been bitter. We've been angry. God, we come back to you. We come back to you, God, today. If you've never joined the family of God, this is your moment. Lord, we thank you that Jesus died for our sins. You died for my sin, God, so I call upon your name, Jesus, and I say, take my sin. I receive your righteousness. I promise from this day forward to live for you and you only. Thank you for washing me and cleansing me, giving me my identity and my purpose. I promise to never look back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a great big hand clap right there. Altar ministers are going to come forward now and pray. If you need prayer today, you're re-enlisted, you're coming back to the Lord, you need prayer for healing, we want to pray for you. You need prayer for restoration, we want to pray for you. Amen. I pray that the God of all hope and love would fill you with inexpressible joy, that the peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in His promises. I pray that His kingdom would come and His will be done would be done on the earth as it is in heaven for you, your family, and your community. I pray that you walk in the power of your purpose and the blessings would overtake you this week in Jesus' name. God bless you as you go. If you need prayer, please come this way. Continue to lift this young woman up in prayer. God bless you as you go. We'll see you next week here at Church on the North Coast.
Thank you for tuning in today and listening. I'm Pastor Troy Thompson, and I want you to know I'm praying for you, and you can make it. With God, all things are possible. If you'd like follow-up care, go to our website, cnclove.org.